Okay. Does that sound good? Too high, too low? Just about right? Okay. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here. And come here with some burdens and some thoughts. And is that coming on? Yes? Okay. Some things that I feel to share with you. A lot of this is going to be to members of the church, but it's not just members of the church. It is based on a lot of my travels, things that I've run into, statements that have been made, things that it's just made me ponder and pray about and think about. And I hope in some way that you are convicted. And I hope in some way that you are encouraged. And I hope in some way you see something that you need to do different in your life. I think that is really what the Lord wants for all of us. He wants us to look at life in a more complete way. The things that He has for us and the things that He wants for us. And this is the second time I preached today. I preached in phone church today. I wasn't just skipping Sunday school because, just so you know, I've had a lot of thoughts. And so some of, if you tuned in this morning, you're going to hear some of those same thoughts expressed. And there's going to be some other things tonight that that I want to express to the Phoenix local and to all those that live stream. And I want to invite you all here. And I ask you to come with your heart. I'm going to talk about the state of the church. And hope that's important to you. I've heard a lot about it in my travels. I've heard a lot of concerns. I've heard a lot of thoughts. And so I want to talk about some of the chatter. I'm going to share some personal things with you. And I might not give up the names to protect the innocent. But things that people have said. I've heard a lot of people say, something's wrong. I've heard people say, we're not being fed. We're not feeling the Spirit like we used to. Things are tearing us apart. People are leaving. You know, what's wrong with our locals, our ministry? There's a number of things that go along with that question. I was asked a specific question, and I had to put it in quotes because this is how it was asked. How long can a church last if the local or the mission is not accomplishing its purpose for which it was designed? I thought that was actually a very good question. What happens if we aren't doing and accomplishing what God did? If all of our efforts are just our own vision instead of a perfect design. You know, so I want to talk about that design today. I want to talk about my burden today. If you read earlier in Alma chapter 2, you find that the church was failing in its course. In fact, you know, he said the pride in the people of the church. There was envy. There was iniquity. In fact, it was even causing people outside the church to lose their way. The church wasn't setting an example, and it was failing in its course. So, when you think that everything, that there's no hope, this hasn't been the first time this has been run into, and this hasn't been the first idea and thought that maybe somebody has had. I was so grateful to hear Jose's sermon this morning. I thought it was a perfect lead into things I want to say. But Alma found himself in this place. It's the burden that I have felt tonight. And he said, this he did that he himself might go forth among his people or among the people of Nephi, that he might preach the word of God unto them to stir them up in remembrance of their duty. And I hope to do some of that tonight. That he might pull down with the word of God all the pride and craftiness and all the contentions that were among his people, seeing no way that he might reclaim them, save that we're bearing down in pure testimony against them. Well, that doesn't sound very fun. And I don't feel like it's very fun. But I think there's things that need to be said, and I'm a realist. And, yes. Oh. Okay. Well, let's get to, so we're not there, huh? Here we go again. The presence of, oh, you can't, you can see my home screen. Okay. Is it nice? I hope that one's nice. See if I can get you on here. And somewhere along the way, somebody may have to come help me. We'll see. Are you okay? Okay. Tell me if it comes up at any time. If not, I'm going to press forward, and if somebody has the wherewithal to, typically this particular thing works for me, so odd.
You preach, I'll play with
it. All right, I'll preach, he'll play with it. If I was to ask you, what is the purpose of a church or the local? What is the purpose? And where do you find it stated? Where is God's design perfectly stated? Thank you. I just gave it away. Nope. Am I at the beginning? All right. I believe that the purpose of a local and the church is best stated in Moroni chapter 6, and then there's one in the Bible that Jose talked about today, but we're going to read this. And I want you to understand that this tells us who the church is and what the purpose of the church was. And after they had been received unto baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And their names were taken, that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who is the author and the finisher of their faith. So, members, your names are taken by the church, that you would be remembered, that you would be nourished by the good word of God, that you would be kept in the right way, encouraged to be continually watchful unto prayer and relying upon the merits of Christ. What is that? That's the calls to repentance. You know, salvation is something that changes your life. Our relationship with Christ is intended to change our life. And something that you receive that doesn't change your life isn't real. This is what the church, what the purpose was. And the church did meet together off to fast and to pray, to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together off to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. The church's job was to meet, to fast and pray for each other. I heard our prayers tonight. This is part of our purpose. It was to speak with each other, to encourage each other, because we have a lot of challenges in our life. Our souls are always under attack. And most of all, we're called to meet to remember the Lord Jesus. You know, the church is the people. You are the church. This isn't the job of ministry. It's the job of the church. It's what we do and what we're called to do for one another. And so only you can answer the question for yourself is, are you doing? Are you part of this process? Because this is a process It's a feature that the Lord gave to you and I to help us down the road. Salvation only comes through Christ, brothers and sisters. The church's job is to encourage us in that way, to keep us there, fixed upon the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 describes it as Jose read today, as a body. Now God has set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. If you look up this word feeble, it's the weak. You know, the ones that cause us the most anguish and struggle and problem are necessary. The church, you know, people get this idea the church is supposed to be this perfect body of people that we walk perfectly and we just treat everybody the way we should. And yet in this description of the body of Christ, the church, there's those that are feeble. There's those that are struggling with different sins. And it says that these people are necessary. They're necessary for all of us, for the whole body, these parts, these people, they are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given a more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, no division, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You know, as I look around and I hear some of those things that have been said and talked about, you know, this question I have for you is, do you see yourself as someone that has the same care for everyone in the church as you do for yourself? Are you concerned about division? Do you deal with division? Do you allow it to remain in you because you're right? There's times I have to tell you, just walking around and listening to conversation, we don't really live up to this very well. I've often wondered what that looks like when you see someone in the body that is having a trouble and that trouble is bothering you. What's your reaction? How much value do they have? Are you quick to criticize? Are you quick to remember them in prayer? Because you love them and you have the same care for them as you do your favorite person. And, you know, I ask a question, who are the most important people in our church? Please answer. Who? Everyone. But the Lord even gave us a bigger focus. Who are the most important people to be honored?
The children.
Children. I heard someone else. The feeble. The parts that lack. You know, I have to tell you that we live in a, you know, you've probably heard this a lot, the cancel culture, right? People that don't matter. We live in a world that's full of people that don't matter. And people, we think, you know, we get caught in the thinking of this. As I travel and I look and I look at what God says, I want you to pay attention to something that I think is one of the most important things I could say to you, and I say it to me, is how you and I treat the people that are less loved in the world than anyone else is exactly the way God sees us, where we are. The people that are struggling the most, the ones that cause the most problems, how you and I treat those people, says the most to the Lord about where you and I are. As I travel and I look at the people that mean nothing in this world, they're small, they're not the beautiful people of the world. Maybe they don't have the cleanest house. Maybe they're rough. Maybe they have all kinds of problems that you always have to deal with and it gets tiring. These are the people that Jesus invited to come, that he spent a lot of time with. And he's watching you and I in our churches, in our locals, of how we handle and how we deal and what we do with these same people. And they are in our midst, in every congregation. Sorry, this one's a little bit long, but here's the concept. Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous say unto him, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Take great care. Take great care in what you think about the ones less loved in the world that are part of us, the ones that need the most. It's so important to our good, to the blessing that he can give or take away from you and I. So take great care of those people. Personal responsibility. You know, in 2 Nephi chapter 13, 27 to 30, it's an age-old thing. It's been read hundreds of times, probably thousands of times across the pulpits. But it's a personal responsibility. A church is not about the leadership. It's about all the members. We don't stand or fall based on just leadership. We stand and we fall based on our own personal decisions and our sense of duty to God himself. Here in 2 Nephi 13, he says, and now my beloved brethren, after you've gotten into the straight and narrow path, this was being baptized, coming into a straight and a narrow path, becoming a member of the church, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. You know, we have a personal responsibility in our locals, in the general church, among our families, in the world. We have a responsibility to Christ first. And this responsibility is some of the things that I sometimes hear the complaint about. You know, there's some things that I can't do for you. No one can do for you. You're the only one that can do it. You are required by God to press forward. You're required to feast on the Word of God. I don't consider it a feast if all you do to get the Word of God is come to church twice on Sunday and on Wednesday night and hear maybe 3 hours, maybe 3.5 hours, if they're long like me. Is that enough? Is that really feasting? 3.5 hours of your week in the Word of God? If you are struggling with being fed, it's not just the problem of ministry, brothers and sisters. Sometimes it's you. You have a responsibility to the King of Heaven yourself to want to know something that you can't get in 3.5 hours of church. How many of you know what you believe? Honest question. Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe it? Can you explain it? Have you answered the most important question of your life? That question is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with them? It's not about what your parents did or your grandparents or your forefathers in the church or this minister or that. I want to know how many of you can share a personal testimony of Jesus Christ, your Savior. I want to know if you can share a personal testimony. You know, sometimes we forget the personal side of what we do in the church, what it's all about. This personal side of what I can and can't give you, what no minister over the pulpit can give or give you, what your parents can give to you or not. We can't give everything to you. There's some things that you have to seek for yourself. There's a duty. Ministry and members both have a duty. One of them concerning the Word of God. Ministers are told in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So this is partly about preaching. You know, this is... You're supposed to preach when you feel like it and when you don't. This isn't about a matter of convenience. The duty of ministry is a service. We're servants. Called to serve the people of God and ultimately Jesus Christ Himself. We don't get to pick and choose the when. There was a brother that asked me a question, and I want to share it with you because it's deep. But he said to me, you know, he says, I feel like sometimes that we pray, and we come up and we lay out our day, and we have our whole plan ahead of us, you know. And we say to the Lord, here's my plan for the day. You know, if there's something I can do for you in the middle of my plan, I would be happy to do it. Just let me know what it is. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm here to serve you. What do you want me to do today? We get our own plans in the way over and over again. And yet sometimes the Lord needs us to get out of the way of our own plans because we're called to serve Him. And we need to be asking that question, what can I do for you today, Lord? I have found that my plans often go out the window when the Lord answers that question. But to all of us, Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. There's times that you and I, the longer we are in the gospel, we should have the ability to teach others. This is what we do as we mature. You know, even my kids in school would, you know, the older kids would be helping the younger kids because they were learning. But here there was a problem. And sometimes we weren't doing our duty. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How do you do that? By knowing the Word of God. It's like I ask you, do you believe in the Bible? Yeah, I believe in the Bible. If you haven't read the Bible, can you actually say that? On what basis do you believe it? Because your mom and dad do? Because somebody that you know does and they're nice? If you haven't read the Book of Mormon, how do you know you believe it? If you haven't taken the time to find right and wrong, the wisdom of God that's in His Word, outside. You know, there came to my mind this morning a song. It's number 14. We used to sing it every once in a while at a sacrament service. It's called Bread of Life. And as often, you know, songs have, they call to my heart. And this song was a prayer. I think it was a prayer. It was a request of God. You know, break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. As you broke the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word. You can't get enough in church. You never will. If you want to know what you believe, find out by taking the time. You've got to seek God beyond it. He is a living word. He gives us a promise in His word. John chapter 10, that He will feed you. He will give you pastures, times of rest, and He'll give you plenty to feed on. Feast on the Word of God. If you're not doing this and you tell me you're not being fed, you're part of the problem. Ministry, as members of the church, have questions. Are you taking the time to try to find the answers? I don't expect you to know everything all at once. I don't. But are you taking the time to seek the answers, to encourage them? There are some hard questions. And sometimes you may need help. And we should be seeking these things for one another. I believe there are things that get in our way. What I can't give you is a personal journey to God and to salvation. I can't give that to you. You know, there's something that we don't really like to say, but I've heard people say, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? And sometimes we hesitate to ask. I'm not sure why. Because it's pretty personal. Something I can't give to you. I can bear my testimony about my personal relationship, about what He's done for me, about where I met Him in the way. But have you met Him in the way? Do you have a testimony of where He changed your life? Are you asking for that testimony? Are you seeking Him to find it? Because the invitation to you is to come. I can't do that for you. You have to go. You have to do it. All I can do is encourage you as a church to speak to you about the welfare of your soul, to guide you. Growing in the Spirit. How do you do that? You know, we sometimes get the same attitude of others. You know, well, I've been baptized. It's all okay. I can come to church now and, you know, I'll do my time and I can go home and everything's great because I'm baptized and I'm ready to roll. And how's that causing you to grow in the Spirit? There's 1 Corinthians 12:31. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And that's really the part of that, you know, how do you covet? The one thing that you and I are allowed to covet are the gifts of the Spirit. That's what He talked about earlier in that chapter before He talked about the church. He talked about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, I hear us say, well, you know, we don't feel the Spirit like we used to. So, whose fault is that? Matthew 7:7-8. Says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If I said to you, what are the gifts of the Spirit? Can you name them? Are they important? Are they just for ministry? How many of you think the gifts are just for ministry? No? If they're not in our church, fault's never been God's, it's ours. I just ask you, do you seek it? Do you ask for wisdom? The spirit of wisdom, for knowledge, for faith, exceeding great faith. Do you ask God for it? For discernment of spirits. One of those gifts. You know, the great problem of the latter day is deception. Do you ask for the discerning of spirits that you will not be deceived? Do you ask God for the healing of the sick? You know, it hasn't only been the prayer of ministry that's done that. It's been the prayers of a united group of people. Have you asked that the Lord would be doing miracles? Have you asked for tongues? Prophecy. Prophecy so that we'd know what's going on. What if you and I aren't asking? What if we aren't asking? Then why would He give it? If you and I show up to church day after day, service after service, and we feel nothing, the only reason that's true is because we have done nothing to prepare for that service. We've not asked the Lord to come. We haven't asked Him to be involved in our personal lives and made the commitment to seek it with all of our heart. It's not His perfect design that's broken. We are the ones. We are the ones that must be seeking it. And we need it. You know, there's a story, and I know that you know it. You know the parable of 10 virgins? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They were God's people. Pure. They knew the Lord was coming. They had a lamp. Something that you see. What is the lamp? It's what people see. It's what shines the light. But they were missing oil. Oil has always been that picture of the Holy Ghost. They were missing the Spirit at work in their life. And so, you know, the cry came. And those, you know, they were all slumbering and sleeping. The cry came and they got up and they found out they didn't have enough what? Oil in their lamp. And so what did they do? They said to the guys that had oil, give us of your oil. And what did those people say? If I give it to you, there's not enough for me. You go to those that buy and get it for yourself. I can't give you the Spirit of God. No one else can. You can't have that relationship with Him unless you seek it. And you seek to bring it. Are you seeking it? I submit if you and I are saying, yeah, I got a ton of memories of services, and I don't think it's dead, and I know that you don't either. But if you want more, there's more required of you. A personal duty to seek the Lord about these things so that you bring it with you. I love the testimony about Donna Moser. Her attitude toward a Wednesday night service. She was praying all day. Lord, is there something you want me to say? I can't tell you how many times I came and listened to her say, I'm going to bear this testimony. I'm not sure why I'm bearing it, but I knew why. And I knew the need. There are things that we can't fake. There are questions that people ask that God has the ability to answer. I've been here when He did it. Something that none of us knew. It became something that I was looking forward to coming. I wanted to come. I wanted that to happen again and again and again. If you feel a lack of the Spirit, make sure you bring it with you. Seek Him. Something no one else can give you but the Lord Himself. And He's not going to give you anything to which you don't ask. We need these things, as we all know. I was thinking about, I'll cover it later. I believe there's a perception in our time. I believe it's here in 2 Nephi chapter 12. And it says, "For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men to stir them up to anger against that which is good." We see this, we all know it, we see it in our world. We're aware of this happening. And then he says, "And others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell." Carnal security. What is it that you long for, seek for? You know, there's a false promise here. A false promise that Satan can provide everything that you need as well. He's quick to give you the promise. We can get caught up in it. We can be pacified. Everything's pretty good, you know. I know there's a few problems, but it's no big deal. And we can get to thinking, well, everything's okay. Well, I hope you don't think that. But I think that you and I can still get stuck in carnal security. I want to talk about that for just a moment. Carnal security is pertaining to flesh. This is the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Pertaining to flesh. Fleshly, sensual, opposed to spiritual as carnal pleasure. Being in the natural state, unregenerate, not born again. Not born to a different way of thinking spiritually. Romans 8 says a carnal mind is enmity against God. Carnal. This is about how you look at life. What is your view of your life? And what is important? Security. Several definitions. Protection. Effectual defense or safety from danger of any kind. As a chain of forts erected for the security of the frontiers. Well, we don't have those anymore, but it's what it used to be considered security. That which protects or guards from danger. A navy constitutes the security of Great Britain from invasion. I think this definition 3 is really the one that I see. Freedom from fear or apprehension. Confidence of safety. Whence negligence in providing means of defense. Security is dangerous, for it exposes men to attack when unprepared. Security in sin is the worst condition of the sinner. Carnal security. Thinking that you are safe. So, does carnal security make you feel safe? Thoughts are things that may seem reasonable to the carnal mind, you know, and I'm sure you probably, as long as I or we have, and you can fill in the blank, everything's going to be all right. I can't tell you how many times I've heard it. I've heard us say it. I've said it. There's things, you know, if I just had this, everything would be fine. If this condition just existed, and I wondered about some of these things that are affecting us as a church. Carnal security. You and I are looking at changes in the world, and we're questioning whether you and I are now secure. I know we are. I've been hearing the chatter. I hear people talk about it. What if? What if? And so I had to do some thinking for this myself. I'm going to go back to that question. You could fill in the blank. As long as I have, or we have, everything is going to be all right. You can fill in the blank. As long as I have a good job, everything's going to be all right. I think the Lord's shown our local pretty well. It doesn't require a good job. good retirement. If I have a good retirement, it's all going to be all right. I'll get through anything as long as I'm healthy. How many of you think that's going to last forever? I used to listen to a brother. He's not a member of the church. He was married to a member of the church. And he told me once, he said, Joel, he was over here and he did this. He said, Joel, you take care of this body and it'll take care of you. You know, there was a day that dawned on him. He came to a conclusion that that conclusion was false. We're made frail and we're going to falter. As long as I have the people in my family, everything's going to be okay. As long as I have good benefits, vacation, sick leave, medical insurance. Oh, that's a big one. What if I lose medical insurance? As long as I got my family, we're all right. My church, my friends. Oh, as long as I got entertainment. As long as I got Xbox, the world is turning on its axis properly. As long as I can take in my sports on the weekend. A movie night every now and again, we're good to go. Oh, here's another one that you and I are looking at. You know, as long as we have our freedom, we're all right. As long as the church building remains, we can go to it. Maybe someday, as long as I got a good bank account, where everything's all right. Oh, here's another one for our day. A year's worth of stored food for our family. We're ready to go. We got enough guns and ammo. We're ready for whatever comes. Ask the preppers in California and Oregon that the fire came through, how ready they were for anything that's to come. And they've done everything. Where does your hope lie? In what? These things are false. Every one of them is false for a sense of security. None of them bring it. Not one. And what's true is we all know it. You know, I considered this idea of medical insurance. And I think about this problem of carnal security. Here we are as a church. How many of you know that God has the ability to heal? I do. That's why I love going to foreign countries. I love going to the countries where there is no medical insurance. There's no money on those people to do anything. They can't go to the hospital because you got to pay in advance and they can't afford it. You know who they're left to? God. God alone. He makes all the decisions about their health, about whether they live or die. On one of the last trips, well, I was with Dwayne. We went to a small congregation, a mission, and called Mazora. The leader of that mission, his wife was pregnant, she was about ready to have her baby, and they went to the clinic in the village, and the village people looked at her, and the people in the clinic, they said, there's a problem. This baby is not turned. There's no way you're going to deliver that baby now. You've got to go to the capital city and go to the hospital, or you're both going to die. They didn't have the money to go to the capital city. They didn't have the money for the hospital and the doctors. They had no ability. But they had God. And the day dawned, and the labor started, and man and wife found their knees and laid their cause before God. And she delivered that baby. I was blessed to be able to bless that baby. Having heard this testimony, sometimes the counterfeit is there, carnal security. Are you stuck in that? Carnal security causes us to fear what may happen that's outside of our norm. As long as no one leaves our local, we'll all be okay. So everybody thinking about going somewhere else. Is that it? Carnal security. I want to look at the other worldview. the one that Christ calls you and I to. It's a higher view. We've got to get out of carnal thinking and look at something differently. Matthew 6, 24 to 26, no man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I believe Brother Jose asked us that question today. We're more important to him than the sparrows. This is his promise. I can't make you believe it. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have a different view, and we have got to lift our eyes up in this time in which we live, because it matters. It matters. Don't get stuck in the carnal side of life. I believe man has a nature, and I believe God is moving to us. I believe there's things that God is doing for you and I and for our benefit to this very day. Helaman, I want to look at our nature. Helaman 4, 48 to 51. And thus we can behold how false, and also the unsteadiness of the hearts of the children of men. Yea, we can see that the Lord in his great infinite goodness doth bless and prosper those who put their trust in him. Yea, we may see at the very time when he doth prosper his people, yea, in the increase of their fields, their flocks, and their herds, and in gold, and in silver, and in all manner of precious things of every kind and art, sparing their lives and delivering them out of the hands of their enemies, softening the hearts of their enemies, that they should not declare wars against them, yea, and then find doing all things for the welfare and happiness of his people. Yea, then is the time that they do harden their hearts and do forget the Lord their God, and do trample under their feet the Holy One. Yea, this is because of their ease and their exceeding great prosperity. This has been a struggle of the American church. It's affected us. Maybe it's affected you. We feel at ease. We have no need. And so this need that others feel that are in dire straits, we're missing that. Well, we won't miss it forever, because the Lord made sure that he has a plan. He has an attention getter for you and I. And it's here today. It's affecting us. That's why people are talking all over the church, all over the nation, not even members of our church, people in other churches all talking. And it says that thus we see that except the Lord doth chasten his people with many afflictions, yea, except he doth visit them with death and with terror and with famine and with all manner of pestilences, they will not remember him. Oh, how foolish and how vain and how evil and devilish, how quick to do iniquity and how slow to do good are the children of men. Yea, how quick to hearken to the words of the evil one and set their hearts upon the vain things of the world. Yea, how quick to be lifted up in pride. Yea, how quick to boast and do all manner of that which is iniquity, and how slow are they to remember the Lord their God and to give ear to his counsels. How slow to walk in wisdom's paths. We have been given wake-up calls. And I think all kinds of things have happened in the year 2020, and you've been hearing about them all year. I don't need to continue talking about them, but you're still, and I'm still, wondering about things and not knowing all that's about to happen. But there is a result. One of the other things I hear, you know, feeling empty. Hey, I've heard that from a lot of people. Are you feeling empty? Are you depressed? Overwhelmed? Burdened? Anxious? Are you afraid? Are you lacking peace and contentment? You know, I find that all of these things are God's attention getters. When I hear somebody, and I heard people say, you know, there's something wrong because all kinds of people have this going on. I want to share with you that I believe that we are in a time of great opportunity. We're in a time of great opportunity for God to do something mighty. This is when He does it. Depression, people feeling depressed, down. I felt it. I felt it this year. I felt it for several reasons. Days I had to deal with my heart. Days I had to decide, how am I going to view this? What am I going to do with this? I've been there. This was on my mind last night, this particular part of the Beatitudes. I went to phone church this morning, and we talked in depth about it. And I want to share this with you. Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, He said it also in the Bible in Matthew chapter 5, but He says this in 3 Nephi 5, 50-53. I'm really focused on 50 and 53. Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit which come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, I think about this picture. Blessed are the poor in spirit which come unto me. Poor, it's the word, it's a beggar. It's a beggar, a pauper. It talks about to crouch, you know, to bow down, to kneel. This is what being poor in spirit is. You have a need. You need to be filled. Because that's what happens to the poor. We always have a need. But what do you have to do? Whenever we feel this way, the only way we're blessed is if we come to Him with our need. Truly come to Him. Something I can't do for you. Something that you need to do for us and for yourself. If you're empty, let God fill you with the good things. You can't get that without really seeking it and seeking the source from which everything that is satisfying comes. You must seek Him. You know, and I love this idea of the poor in spirit. Every time I go to Ethiopia and I go and I see some of the poorest of the poor, they always have a list of needs. We expect it. You know why? Because they really do need things. And they don't have any way of getting it without asking someone that might have the ability. It is causes Dwayne and Brian and anybody else who's been there, it's agonizing. Because you do know that they need it. And I look at God the same way. You know, He knows your needs. But you have to seek Him. There's a promise, and this is a trial of your faith. The promise is to those who are burdened. Matthew 11, 28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is a trial of your faith. When you feel these ways, it's a trial of your faith. There's a promise that you can prove God. You can prove His faithfulness when you pour it all out and come to Him. He can give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You have a responsibility. Something we can pray for you, but ultimately in the end, it's your job to seek him and find him. That was the promise. You know, when there was judgment given to Israel and they were sent to Babylon for 70 years, and the Lord said, I'm sending you there for 70 years. It's a judgment. You guys, you need to straighten your lives up. I want you to serve me there. I want you to build houses. I want you to get married. I want you to have children. I want you to serve me. I have good thoughts for you. I have an expected end. And if you will seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. You can find what you are looking for. Your ability, your desire to do so is so important for you personally, and because that is what brings the Spirit back in our services. The testimony of the faithfulness of God, because when you do that, He will do what He said. He will give you rest to your souls. But the other thing is to learn of Him, how we look at life. What's important? I ran across this picture some time back and I like the thought. You know, when you're in a dark place, you sometimes tend to think you've been buried. Perhaps you've been planted. Bloom. There's opportunity. Great opportunity in the struggles that we have. Those struggles are so important. They're the most important thing in your spiritual lives, because the struggle is what makes you strong. It's what gets you close to the Lord, because you have to seek Him through it. I wondered about our reunion. Some say, well, I don't want to call a reunion. Oh, I was here for the meetings. All kinds of ideas thrown out. I like this. I don't like that. I saw the schedule, what's planned. Question I have for you, brothers and sisters, is how are you going to come? How our reunion turns out, or our whatever you want to call it, it's completely up to you. You come with the right heart. You set yourself to seek the Lord in every phase of it, whether it's exactly as you wanted it or not. You come in that unity to seek the Lord. You prepare yourself. You pray for it. Do you think He'll come? Because I do. I think He'll be here waiting for us. You and I can make it a success. We can cop an attitude and say, that's not exactly the way I wanted it. This is the problem of ideas, right? We all have them. Different ideas about different ways. There's a best way. There's a better way. It doesn't matter. What does matter is how you and I come. Let us come in a unity of our faith, that we will do all that we can and make the most out of every moment that we come to seek the Lord. In our reunion, our preparation is important. You're praying that the Spirit of the Lord will be with you, in you. It's important. You know, a few Wednesday nights ago, or sacrament service Sunday, my son gave a testimony and he read three dreams that he had. And I pondered those things for some time now. And there's a dream, one of those dreams, and I'm not saying all of them didn't, but there was one of them that I've just really, it's really just been in my mind. It gives me hope. Gives me hope. Dream number two. I was next to a cliff. There was a two-story house, and it was full of people I knew from church. I saw a massive wildfire behind the house and was telling people how dangerous the fire was. You know, my son had spent most of the summer doing wildland firefighting. His job was preparing houses, buildings to survive the fire when it came through. That's what he was doing all summer. So to him, he could see, and I want you to understand the significance of these things. After I finished speaking, the smoke and fire came down in a fury close to the house. I and my family were in a car and were able to get away. I noticed that the house was in a defendable position and would not be damaged by the fire. And then I woke up. Who prepared that to survive? He didn't see himself doing it. He saw God doing it, preparing us to survive whatever is coming. The dangers of the world, spiritual dangers. He saw it was ready, prepared, able to survive. I believe that we as a local have got to get closer together. I would like to encourage you. Earlier this year, my wife and I and several others listened to a podcast on the 1830 Podcast Network. Look it up. It was a testimony of Karen Malone, how she came to be in the Church of Christ. Her testimony about our local years ago. It was inspiring. You know why it was inspiring? Because she talked about how close our families were. I'm going to take just a few more minutes, and I know I've gone long, but I'm going to share this burden and deliver it because it's on my heart. You know, we had a dream at one point. We had a dream to build a church and build our homes right close to it so that we'd all be together. And I have found that you and I can live next to somebody and not really know who they are. We're comfortable because we assume we're close. My son in that dream, he and his family were leaving. Listen to Brother Stephen talking about a dream that he had to leave. Questioned him one time about it. And he made a statement, and he's not the only one that made it. I had another brother that made a similar statement earlier this year, and he said, I think people are concerned about you leaving because we're going to miss you. And he says, you know, interestingly enough, Brother Joel, about the only time most of you see me is in church. That rock hit me. You know, living close to each other is not enough. There was a time when Karen talked about it, you know, they played volleyball every Wednesday, or Friday night. Well, don't expect to see Don and my dad and everybody out playing volleyball anymore. And a lot of us really aren't in the health to do that. The point was, is the people in the local were together, and they came to know each other. There were studies in the homes of God's people and servants of the Lord available, whether it was Dad or Don. I can't tell you how many study sessions happened at my mom and dad's house when I was growing up. Hundreds. We knew each other. We were close. Do we as a local? Had a brother tell me, he was talking about a greeting at church, and he said, again, why am I sharing this with you? Because I want this burden to be yours, a burden that causes us to do something to change. He said, you know, I've gone to church, and he says, somebody says, see you next week. And he says, I took that as the assumption that he wouldn't be seeing me before Sunday. And I thought, well, you know, is this what we've become? Have we missed the mark? I believe we have. Somewhere in time, we slowed down our abilities to have activities together. COVID's done part of that. But we've got to find a way despite it. Whatever happens, if the Lord leads Stephen and Amy somewhere else, make sure you know them before they leave, so that your blessing goes with them. Your hopes are carried in their effort to serve Him. Same for my son, daughter-in-law. People that have been praying, Lord, is there somewhere you want me? Don't hide from them. Talk to them. Let us encourage one another. This is the Church of Christ. It's never been perfect. I don't expect it to be in our day. But we can change what we see. Things that bother us, we can change them. God's trying. He's calling us to wake up. And so I call on you. I call on you to join me. Take your relationship with Christ seriously. It's yours. It's personal. It has to be. Don't look to survive on my faith, because you can't. Don't look to survive on my understanding, because sometimes I'm wrong. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. Let's do our duty for one another. God made this church. He made a church to support His people in the journey to life eternal, to encourage each other in the way. Find those that are struggling, those you haven't seen. Get to know your neighbors. Get to know your brothers and sisters. Let's be strong for one another, and most of all for Christ. That is my hope and my prayer. I hope you feel encouraged. I hope you feel awoke, ready, determined to find that the day will come when there will be showers of blessing. Showers of blessings. That is my hope for you and me. God bless you.